Untitled, President David O. McKay, David O. McKay, Conference Report, April 1955, pages 124-126. Now, in conclusion of this inspirational conference, we wish to express once again our gratitude to all who have contributed to its success, including those who have furnished these lovely flowers not only for the beauty of the flowers themselves, but especially for the spirit that prompted the giving. The calla lilies come from Berkeley Stake and the daffodils, from the Tacoma Stake through the courtesy of the Puyallup Daffodil Festival Committee of Tacoma. We express appreciation to city officials for their efficient care in directing traffic during the conference, to the reporters, to radio and television stations, for the service in our own city and state and other states named throughout the sessions. This service has been a means of permitting tens of thousands to hear the proceedings of the conference, to the daily papers, here in the city and in the state. We express appreciation for their cooperation and their efforts accurately to report the proceedings of this great conference. Once again, we express appreciation and gratitude for those groups who have furnished such inspiring music: the men's chorus of the Tabernacle Choir last Saturday night, the Tabernacle Choir, faithful members, capable, inspiring, the Brigham Young University combined choruses. You who heard them will join me in expressing appreciation of their presence, as well as for their inspiring singing. And finally, and how glorious it is to have our conference concluded with their singing, we express appreciation to our singing mothers. You notice the choir seats are filled, and also the two rows extending on each side of the gallery. I should like to acknowledge with gratitude the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. After all, that is what makes a conference inspiring. I felt its uplifting influence last Saturday morning. It was about 1 hour after this unprecedented snowstorm swept over the valley. As Sister McKay and I approached the tabernacle to fill our appointment with the primary association officers, we felt that there would probably be many vacant seats. It was snowing. In fact, it was almost a blizzard as we entered the tabernacle. I shall never forget the inspiration that I felt as I looked over an audience that completely filled this historic building. That morning, two great impressions came to my mind. One, that this demonstration of the primary association is but illustrative of other groups in the church, equally active, equally responsible. There came to my mind the saying in Ephesians, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, and so forth." Seven organizations, including two of the Aaronic priesthood, with 273,142 officers and teachers, guides, inspirers, of the membership of the church, engaged in perfecting the saints, working in the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. When I listened to the primary workers and heard them report several stakes that have 100% enrollment, and the officers and teachers guiding them and teaching them, I was reminded of an article, a story I read 20 years ago in one of our national magazines. It is a story of a little boy who had wandered from his home into the bedlands of North Dakota. On Tuesday, July 18, 1933, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a little 3-year-old lad was lost in the bedlands of North Dakota. He was bareheaded, barefooted, and wore only a pair of coveralls. The bedlands are noted for their pitfalls, canyons, rattlesnake holes, and as a rendezvous for wild animals. Upon discovering that the little boy was missing, his parents began an immediate search. Later in the evening, neighbors and friends were notified. An all-night search was made. Early Wednesday morning, a neighbor rode 16 miles to Walford City to give the alarm that a child was lost. Farmers, housewives, shepherds, cowboys, business and professional men, storekeepers, boy and girl scouts, law officers without delay gathered on the town square at Schaefer to hear Sheriff Thompson's instructions as follows. "We are all going out to the bedlands to find and bring back the little Cornell boy. The best way I know to do this is for all of us to form into one single line and march out there. Each man, woman, and child of us will be spaced a few feet from each other. Every hole and canyon in the way must be searched. Every brush must be examined as we go along. This line, friends and neighbors, must not be broken. Every water hole, ravine and cave must be searched thoroughly. Every square inch must be scanned by us as we go. It is the only way. I don't know how long our search will take, but Alfred Cornell is out in the badlands somewhere, and when we turn back the little fellow will be with us. We can only hope that we shall not be too late. Now, let's get going. I have appointed some of you deputies to ride on horseback so that there will be no slip up, and there will be none if I know anything about the people of this state." The line formed at 6:30 Thursday evening. The boy was found kneeling at a water hole. His legs and feet were badly bruised and inflamed. His father and mother rushed to him, clasping him in their arms, and said, "How did you like it, lad? Fine, answered the plucky little fellow and burst into tears. When the 10-mile line of human beings saw that the boy was found and really alive, a great cheer arose from 250 voices. They had found that which was lost. They had answered the challenge, had overcome all obstacles and saved a life. 273,142 officers and teachers are assembled in the Church of Christ, going out to search for young boys and girls who are in the bedlands of immoral influence that surround us. Let us pray God that we shall not be too late, and we shall not be if we will honor our callings and do our duty as urged upon us through this great conference. I have time just to summarize the address given by King Benjamin at the conclusion of his great address as recorded in Mosiah. I say unto you, if ye humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, comma ye shall always and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins, and ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true, and ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due, and ye will not suffer your children that they go hungry, or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God, and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness, but ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness, ye will teach them to love one another, and to serve one another. God bless you, officers and teachers of the church in the Church of Jesus Christ. May the love of our Redeemer be in each heart, and that means that love will be expressed in serving one another. For, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me, said Christ. Oh, what love is in your heart this moment as you contemplate the greatness and goodness of our Father throughout this conference. May the Lord continue to bless these brethren of the general authorities, and others who have spoken to us during this conference. They represent the hundreds of thousands of others in the church. God bless his work here among mankind, that the influence of love and goodwill may radiate from this center throughout the whole world, and bring glory to our Father in heaven. I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.